morning and welcome to episode 58 of the DeckTees podcast brought to you by LegitMTG.com. My name is Erin Campbell. Pharos pre-release weekend starts officially at midnight tomorrow. And of course, when there's a new set, I have to have one of my very best girlfriends on the show to walk me through the set and to kiki about what we're going to be up to that weekend and what we've been up to in general. So she is the annex to my Psymied. Hello, Jen.
Hello.
Hi.
I haven't podcasted in so long. I don't know how to do this anymore.
Well, you'll be pleased to know your podcast is still sitting on the iTunes chart. So people have not forgotten about you.
Yay. I'm not starting it back up anytime soon.
So you remind me every time I ask. Do you miss it a little bit?
I think so, but like now, I don't know. It's weird because now I have all this time to not do anything. No, but I've been filling that time with baby stuff, so it's kind of just like something else filled that spot. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work, though.
Yeah,
people don't realize because it does take a lot out of it, mm-hmm. out of you.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Jen is pregnant. She is about to have a baby that she's affectionately referred to as Tuck Tuck.
Tuck Tuck the Explorer.
How is Tuck Tuck?
Tuck Tuck is good. He's okay. Doing 3 weeks.
Oh, Jesus. Are you ready?
I think so. Brant just has to fix, my husband has to fix the one drawer, mm-hmm. and then I can put diapers in it.
Yeah. I have a coworker that's due next week, actually. And what amazes me is she's so just chill about it. She's so perky. She's very upbeat. And the only thing I can think of, like, I'm more nervous about it than she is. I'm just like, that's going to come out of that and
you try not to think about it.
Oh,
because no matter what, like, I mean, people will say like, oh, you forget about it, it's not going to be that bad, you can have drugs, blah blah blah. It's like you can't go into it having any like idea of what's, especially if it's your first one. Like, this is my first one, so I have no idea. Of course it's gonna hurt like hell, like, but women have been doing it since like caveman time, so it can't be like I'm not gonna die. Hopefully. That would be bad. But, I mean, just from, like, the pain, I'm not going to die from the pain.
But it sounds like you've also had a good pregnancy, too. Like, we have my friend at work, who I call my office wife, and then we have another girl that we really don't know, but she's also due around the same time as you two, and she just looks miserable. She just cannot wait for that thing to get out of her. She walks just like, oh, God, I don't want to do this. And she's got this sort of this really unhappy waddle, and she just looks terrible, and she's not a happy camper. And as opposed to you two, it seemed very happy being, you know, pregnant and are enjoying that process.
Yeah, I've been really, really lucky. I wasn't sick. I have a little swelling or whatever, but like, just overall, like, people, like, I'm like, they're like, when are you due? And I'm like, in 3 weeks. They're like, no, you're not. Yes, I am. It's gonna come out. It's been in there for a while now, so it's gonna come out. But I don't know. It's been pretty nice. He's not too crazy or keeping me up. So I think the dogs keep me up more. They know something's up. Happy does. He's gotten a lot more protective, and he's like, he's sitting right next to me. Like, he's very close, and like, so puppies know. Like, animals figure that stuff out.
They know they're going to be sharing you pretty soon.
Yeah. They're like, I don't like this. This isn't cool.
Are you still going to be able to make it to the pre-release this weekend?
Yes, I should be able to. I don't think it's coming out. I mean, something would have to change over the next like 2 days.
Okay.
But I think I'm good for pre-release.
Okay.
Hopefully. I'll still have like 2.5 weeks after that.
So. Right. I remember you saying you're probably going to end up missing game day, though.
Oh, yeah. Game day is after. Okay. Game day is the week after Pro Tour, mm-hmm. Theros, which is like right after my due date. So I won't be able to go to game day. Mm-hmm.
So speaking of game day, you mentioned something about visiting a new game store. Tell me what happened.
Well, my friend, he said there was a store, another local store that was like down the street. And I just wanted to try it out with my friend Chaz. It is just something different. I don't know. Like, it's good to see what else is out there. Mm-hmm. Just with like your stores. Just the play styles. That are, you know, like, if it's competitive or not, or just to get a feel for what's out there. Mm-hmm.
Would you go back to the store?
So we went there, and it's this little like comic book shop, mm-hmm. but it's in an antique store. So you have to actually go through this gigantic antique store to get to the back where they have like, it's not like it's another store, it's just an area
Okay.
that they have all. So you go through all like the creepy dolls and all the stuff, and you're just
Josh.
like, oh my God. And you have no idea where to go because there's no really signs. You just know that it's back there because you've heard that it's, oh, it's in the antique store. Okay. So you get back there. And it's this cute little like area, and they have all these comic books. And I just wanted to check it out because I used to get a bunch of comic books, but then I had to stop because I wasn't going past that one comic book store. And I didn't realize that there was this one here, much closer. I could have been getting comic books the entire past like 9 months, but I haven't been. So I went in, and the people were really nice, and it's a totally different atmosphere than where my normal gaming store. They have a thing, and I knew it would be because when we looked, I knew it was going to be more casual because the way they do it is they play 3 rounds, and if you win a round, you get a pack. So it's much more casual. They have a thing where if you have 3 or more in your family come, it's like $12 a person. So like
Oh,
it's more
wow.
family oriented, you know, like the dad bringing the 2 kids or the mom, you know, like it's, you know, a parent and 2 kids or 2 parents and a kid. So I went before I walked in, I totally knew it was going to be more casual and not so competitive, which is something that I was kind of like looking for. Just to have an option, kind of like some of the days you just like, you know what? I just want to draft for fun. I don't really want to go and be like
Right.
play 4 or 5 rounds to win packs and just like drop after the second round, you know? Because if you
Yeah.
go 0-2, you're like, what the fuck? That's not fun. So I walked in and there's a bunch of little kids and like little kids, like 9-year-olds. So there's at least like 6 of them and they're adorable. Like the one dad had like taught his 2 little ones. So I ended up, there's about like 4 tables there. So it's not a huge store. You could fit like 4 pods of 8 if you really needed to, but you play like, it's good for like 18 people because you could have six, it's a 6-seater at these tables. So you could play six ma or 3 matches. Drafting. So we sat down. We did. I think we there was 18 people there. So we did 3 sets of 6. So it was me, the 2 kids, another kid, and the dad, and an older guy. I think he's like 27. So we're drafting, and we'd wait for the kids to like take their pick and like pass together. So you know everybody, no one's getting like backed up or anything. The kids are taking the cards, and they have no idea what they kind of know what they're doing, but they're just taking their colors. And then the little kid next to me, he's like, I don't know how to do my mana. I'm like, it's okay. Well, I'll help you at the end. Like, don't worry about it. I'll show you how to do it. So then we helped make their decks. I don't know. It was just fun.
Yeah,
And then.
we have 3 stores in our area, and it's kind of the same thing you said, where they all sort of have different levels of competitiveness. And I know for pre-releases, I like to go to the more casual store because I made the mistake of going to pre-releases to win and being really competitive, and I didn't have as good of a time, and I felt like the people that I played didn't have as good of a time either. So, the pre-releases are the one time of year where I'm really not in it to win it. I mean, I don't want to. There are definitely prizes on the line, and I definitely don't want to lose those. But it's not the same prizes as if you lose a PTQ. Or you lose, a TCG event. I'm more relaxed in those environments. And I also like that our local game stores have sort of have tiers to them, where it's like, so we have the really, really casual store that has basically a free FNM, and the only things you can really win there are promo cards. And that store has more rogue decks. Like you're very unlikely to find any net decks there. They like to brew their own or whatever.
That's fun. Yeah, that's what the store would be like. If they do drafts and standard, and I was like, so if I'd go to this a standard Friday against little kids, like I would totally brew up some like little deck just to have fun. And that I can't do that on a Saturday at these other stores where everybody's going in paying like $15, $30 to like win it.
But it was also nice too, like just to sort of as you got better with the game. So like when if I'm ever trying to if there are ever people locally who want to learn how to play, I'll usually send them to the the store with the no entry fee FNM, so they can sort of get their feet wet. And then if they decide they want more of a challenge, we have a second store which is a little further in town, and they offer store credit for your for doing well at FNM, in addition to the promo cards, of course. And then we have a third store where if you made top 4, you used to be able to win a third of a box, or you'd split a box box with somebody. So you would pay. That one had an entry fee. And then if you top four, you won 9 packs. And they also didn't charge for girls to play. So I would go to that one when I was feeling really competitive, wouldn't pay any entry fee. I was going top four. So I would leave with 9 packs with no entry fee, which was really nice. But like I said, for certain events, you want, like you said, you want to scale it back sometimes. Right? I just want to have fun. I'm not really there for that. There's a time for that. And that's not right now. So I get that.
And I'm not going to be able to draft like in the next, like I'm not going to be able to go to the store in the next 3 months. So I'm off on maternity leave. And once the baby comes, like it's going to be a lot harder. So if I do get to go out like that one Friday night or something, where do I want to go?
Yeah.
You know, like, and I just kind of wanted to try out this one store. It's not like I'm like leaving my other store. I just wanted to like see what it was. And I might go there like next Friday or something for release party, because they do drafts, and my release party, the other store, is sealed, and I don't know if I want to do sealed. So it's like, it's what I have choices. It's nice having choices that are close and not having to drive 30 plus minutes, you know, to a further store.
It's funny though how there is this weird sense of loyalty, like you said, where you know you can still go to that store and still go to that store. And I don't know if it's just my local stores, but they all seem to have this weird competitiveness with each other.
Oh yeah, you don't want to lose people. It's money.
Well, it's more than that though. They just all seem to have things like they never miss out on an opportunity to take little barbs at each other. And I never really understand why that is. And then you know there are times where if I say that I'm going to, like if I go to store A and I'm talking to the owner of store A and I make mention of the fact I went to store B, you sort of feel like a cheating partner. You're like, you know, yeah. I still love you, and it meant nothing. And it's really weird that you have to justify that, where it's like, why can't I go to all these stores? Like, they almost make you commit, and I don't really
know. Why did you go to that store? They want to know why. Like, what can we change so you won't go there? Well, yeah. You don't have to change anything.
Right.
I just wanted to try something new, okay? It's like I have all these pairs of shoes. I want to wear them all. Why can't I just do that? I'm not a guy. I don't need like just one pair of shoes. I like all the shoes. Sometimes I want to play with a little kid, okay?
Which is funny because you're usually the one who crushes the little kids, while I'm the one who can't bring myself to do that.
Well, okay. So the first kid that I got paired with, he had been sitting at the other table, and he was talking the entire time. And he's like, he got a planeswalker. I forget which one. And he slammed it. He's like, money card. And then he didn't. He's like, I'm not playing those colors yet, though. And like, my friend Chaz, he's like, dude, you're not supposed to tell anybody what you're not playing, because now I have all this information. You just told everybody. Like, don't do that. And so this kid, this little 9-year-old, is just talking to Arr! And so, of course, I get paired with him the first turn. He has this like blue-black deck. Something. So I keep like I went mono green, which so in this set it's just
it's not hard.
Green cards. And I had a perfect like curve, you know, I had my nice deck. It's fun. I was gonna hit my mana. I knew that, you know, because it's all green. I don't have to wait for two colors. So I play him, and within like 10 minutes he's done. I'm like, I win. I beat you. Is that shut him up? I'm like, let's build your deck. He's like, I have 60 cards. I'm like, no. No, we are not doing this. So I took it apart. And I would ask him questions like, okay, why do you have like two of these cards? It was like a source. I forget. I'm totally blanking on name. I totally blank now on people's names with the baby and like names of cards. Like, it's awful. Diabolic Tutor. He had two Diabolic Tutors. And I'm like, this is a good card, but how are you going to win?
Yeah.
Where are your win conditions? Well, I could go tutor that, like cockatrice. And I'm like, let's take one of these out. I'm going to teach you a thing called 2317. It's 17 lands, 23 other cards. Once we get to 23, then we'll see what you can do. And try to teach him. Ask him questions. Like, it was fun. But I tell him afterwards, after I won my pack. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, you'd have been very proud of me, because this past weekend I drafted at Michael Robles and Tifa Mayan's wedding.
Drafted. Oh, yeah, that's right. You had at the wedding.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me break it down. So the wedding was fabulous. They had a very gamer-themed wedding. Like, are you familiar with the cartoon called Adventure Time?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they called their wedding Wedding Time with Mike and Tifa. They had their own hashtag. The invite had like gamer fonts with it. Tifa's dress had I want to say medieval type influences. Like I'm pretty sure that there were elements from a video game, but I wasn't really sure which one. It was an outdoor wedding. It was beautiful. The weather cooperated, and I knew it was going to be a good wedding when their wedding vows were in packs of magic. So they get to the front, the pastor's there. They pull out packs of magic, and then they open the packs, and their vows are in there. And her vows, each of their vows happen to have like magic elements. So Tifa's talking about how much she loves him, and she says, "You are my second head. You are my first draft pick." But it was really sweet, and I really liked the way that she chose to frame her vows, because a lot of times there's only so many ways you can spin them,
Yeah,
And then.
you either do them regularly or you go be creative.
Right. And then
It's not
once
many choices.
right. And then once they got married and they said, you can kiss the bride, they did the Final Fantasy music when you beat someone up, you know that? And then everybody in the wedding put up their little hands like the Final Fantasy characters do, like when you beat someone. Have you seen that? Okay,
Yeah,
yeah.
I did.
Yeah, so it was very, very cute. And then came the speeches. Everybody gave speeches. And at the reception, you had the option of either dancing with the DJ. There was a DJ area. There was a board game area where you could play just Settlers of Catan, things like that. And then we had our friend Allie, who was running the drafts. And there were, I think, five or six pods going. And there was a Return to Ravnica draft. There was an Abzan Restore draft. There was a M13 draft. And it was a lot of fun. I drafted a Boros deck. I don't know why, whenever I'm drafting, I always draft these really aggro heavy decks, because I never play aggro in like my normal life. But for some reason, whenever I'm drafting, that's what I get.
But what did you what set did you play?
It
Or
was
what
the
set did you
whole,
draft in?
it was the Return to Ravnica block.
Okay, so you did block.
Right. So I
That's
was.
good. That's good. Yeah. You
Yeah.
want some aggro in there.
Yeah,
If
so
you
that
could get it, if
was.
you get the aggro with some removal, that's good.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. So I did that, and that was fun, and that was a good time. And then I did. I stayed with Liz and Nathan, and Nathan has a cube that he's been working really hard on. Same thing. For some reason, when I drafted his cube, I ended up with Gruul. So next thing you know, I'm playing like there's that red and green card from Lorwyn where it has haste, and when it attacks, it has wither. And then I've got Huntmaster, and then I've got all this crazy red and green stuff, and I'm just like, why do I always draft these colors that I would never be caught dead with normally? Why am I playing these styles of decks that I would never play normally?
The cube's a little different, but
I guess, but it's just interesting. I find myself getting into these decks that I'm so not used to, and playing colors I would never normally play in combinations, and it's kind of weird. But the wedding was nice. We had a really good time. I made Tifa cry with my speech. That was a good time. Lots of Wizards folks were there. Dave Guskin was there. He let me rub his head. It's funny because he said no at first. Like when we first got, I know. When we first got to the wedding, it was a few minutes before the reception, and he was sitting a row in front of us. I was like, Guskin, psst, Guskin. And I didn't want to say it too loud, so I just did like the charades motion for it. Let me rub your head. Let me. And he went no. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, he's never said no to me. Like, what did I do? And then once the wedding was over and we got seated for the reception, he was like, oh, fine. And then he bends over and I rubbed his head. And Lee Sharp was there. A couple of the guys from Loading Ready Run were there. Or Loaded Ready Run were there. Chris Tate, oh Chris, oh God, he was really, really nice. I can't think of his name. Chris something was there. He was really nice. And there were some other Wizards folks there. Trick Jarrett was there. He's super, super tall in real life. Did you know that?
No.
Oh my God, he's a monstrosity. Really, really nice guy, but I'm just like, holy shit. So everybody there was really nice. They had all of the tables divided by realms and expansions. So there was a new Phyrexia table, and there was a Shadowmoor table, and I was sitting at the Chandelar table, and that was fun. And then after that, we went to the next day. They had wedding karaoke, where we all dressed up in what we wore the day before, and then we went out for karaoke, which was cool. I had a couple of martinis and did super bass, tore it up, just saying. And it was a really good time. They are super lovely over there, and God knows they're trying to get me to move out there. And Gavin
They
Ver
all do. They always try to
yeah, Gavin
get
Verhey was there. He was a good time. He actually can rap. I don't know if you know this, but like he can improv rap. Like if you give him a topic, he can just spit it, and it's
I feel
incredible.
like I mean I met Gavin on the Magic Cruise. Super lovely. But I feel like that, yeah.
Yeah. Like someone would give him a subject. Like someone was like, "Hey, Gavin, rap about snowflakes." And within like a second, he makes this really funny face, like, and then he spits it, and it's impressive. And it's like, wow. Like, so if this wizard's thing doesn't work, he can totally be a rapper. I will say the best part of the night was the Theros spoiler leaked that night, and apparently that was so not part of the plan.
Yeah, wasn't it like the entire set got revealed? Because all of a sudden I was looking at my phone and all of MTG Salvation just like went up. And I was like, because my friends were over and we were cubing. Well, I took a nap and they cubed. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, what are these cards? So I like looked through my phone.
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to happen. I guess it was all supposed to be spoiled on Monday. So some of the remaining people that were left towards the end of the wedding happened to be wizard staff. And the minute that got out, they were like, "Excuse me," and then they were all on their phones, texting and tweeting and trying to figure out what the hell happened, because that was so not part of the program.
Because I thought it was like, because like only two had been revealed on Friday morning or something when we checked, and then I thought it was going to be like either over the weekend or on Monday or something. Like I wasn't expecting it like Friday night.
So people were not happy about that.
That, oh.
And then after the wedding, we kind of relaxed by gathering around Nathan's computer and looking at the spoilers and talking about them or whatever. But we had a really good time. Like I said, everybody in Seattle is super great, and Lord knows I would move out there if I could pull it off. But it's a great place. I'm still in awe of just their community there. Like their magic community is so healthy, and there's so many people there. And you go to Card Kingdom, and there's always something to do. And if you ever get a chance to go to Card Kingdom, you should go because it's basically heaven on earth. And it's just this magical place, and I love visiting them, and I look forward to doing it again. So,
Nice.
and I'm normally not a name dropper, but I was so excited to be going to this wedding where, like, I would tell people, normally you tell people what your plans are for the weekend, and you're like, "I'm going to a wedding." And it was like, "I'm going to a wedding. Yeah, Tifa Mayan, totally know her, going. Yeah." And I was name dropping like a motherfucker. Michael Robles, totally on my show. Yeah, know him. Yeah. Dance with them at the wedding. What about that? Just very proud to be seen with them. And then afterwards, Tifa cut off all of her hair. I don't know. I think she said she wanted to do it for charity, but no sooner had like my plane landed, I was checking Twitter, and all of a sudden she has this red bob. And Tifa has beautiful brown hair, beautiful girl. And
Yeah,
she's like,
I saw the footing pictures.
right. And now she's got this really cute, like almost Tinkerbell style cut. And she added like almost a red magenta-ish tint to it. And she looks beautiful. And I'm just like, what happened? Like when I
So I
left
wanted
you.
her long hair for the wedding, because like all girls, they want to grow it out and be able to do whatever hairstyle they want and then chop it off afterwards.
Yeah, but she looks great. I mean, she could basically wear a paper bag and she'd look fine, you know. She could still, the beauty would still shine through. She's just one of those girls. And I was very happy to be included in their wedding. So it was a good time. Yeah. So in addition to good times, on the subject of good times, I know we've talked about this before, but I want to branch off in other formats. Yay, I know. And especially, I was reading about Modern, and I've decided that for Modern, I want to play Fish. I realize it's not the best deck, but it looks like fun. It's cheap to build. And for Legacy, I want to build Dredge.
Okay.
What do you think?
I don't know much about fish,
Okay.
but it is probably one of the cheaper ones. Modern season, I think, comes up in a couple more months. I think right now it's going to be sealed, and then you're going to go, and I think then it goes into modern, or you go back to standard before modern. I
I'm not
forget.
sure.
But that won't even be till like next year. So you got a little time.
I do.
I mean, modern and legacy, like those two metas are so different, and it's like you got to find what's going to be able to work. Because it's not just like knowing your deck. Like it's not just being like, oh, I'm going to play dredge. I know how to do dredge. But it's like it's reading the other player. It's reading their de that deck that they have and what they do. Because in legacy, like I've watched so much SCG like coverage on Sundays now. Like that's what we do. Like we don't watch football. I turn it on at 8 in the morning and leave it on all day, like all day, and just watch coverage. And but legacy, like just watching the play mistakes, or like because people don't know the cards, or they don't know like what's in the decks. Like it's hard, and dredge is hard.
It
Like just
doesn't
to
seem that
master,
bad.
just to I mean, the concept, it's just same as Storm. Like Storm, like the concept is there. You know, you want to get your rituals in your hand, and you want some infernal tutors, and you want your lion's eye diamonds, and you're gonna go crack stuff, and then go eventually and kill them. The end. Like that's the whole point of the deck. Same with Dredge. You dredge stuff up, you put it on the table, and you go kill them. But it's getting there. It's like knowing the different ways to get there, and there's a lot of disruption in Legacy. So, you know, like a lot of, like, you know, what happens if you get dazed? What do you do? When do you go off? Do you go off on turn one? Or am I playing elves and I have a couple turns where I can manipulate my hand and my deck and my graveyard to get there? It's a lot of that stuff. It's a lot of play testing. I think more than anything, Legacy is about play testing against other decks and just knowing when to do stuff. And like, I'll ponder and I'll be like, I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. Like ponder, I'm like, what do I put on the bottom? What do I put? Do I shuffle?
Yeah, that's
That's not
something I
ponder.
think you bring
Ponder, you
up.
just decide to take your three and you put it back on top. But like, do you shuffle it away? Do you? But you have to make sure you have a fetch land in there too, so you can crack it, especially with brainstorm, so you don't get brainstorm lost. Like it's just there's so many different things to like keep in mind. It's what makes this the format so much fun, though.
It could be something that's unique to just combo decks too, but it seems like in Legacy, you also need to be more aware of what happens when things don't go your way. For
Exactly, yeah.
example, I remember watching the match, and I think you told me to watch it. There was the Manalist Dredge up against Reed Duke's Elf deck, and people were really surprised that a Dredge deck had made it that far. They were just like, "We haven't seen this in a while. This should be good." And it was interesting because I didn't realize that Dredge was sort of the underdog, or I didn't realize that people had
Yeah,
such little opinion of
it's
it.
fallen out of Legacy, like in the main meta right now. But this that's the fun part about Legacy. There's so many. It's really healthy, like the meta. And so like things are coming into play. Things aren't like a different week could be different things. But Elves was, I think, Elves wasn't supposed to win that game,
Well, what was
like in
interesting
general.
was, right, and Reed had almost no experience with that deck, and he actually had to excuse himself once or twice from the table to talk to a judge. Just to, he lost the first match very cleanly, like, holy
That was
shit.
funny.
And then he stepped away a couple times, be like, did that just happen? Okay, did this? And he just wanted to understand what he was up against. And
Yeah.
nothing really in his deck screamed sideboard for that, like, nothing obvious. And he got the idea to put the Thoughtseize from his sideboard in the deck, which means that. So I think he won. He lost game one. He
You won game
won
two.
game two, and then game three. He did something to make his opponent discard. So his opponent
He
wanted,
thought seized him
right, but
on
I
turn
guess,
two, and it just like it changed the game.
right, because his opponent was hoping to, I guess, draw a card, and that way he could discard a card because he'd have seven in his hand or something.
Yes.
And then he only had six in his hand, and he had nothing else to do to really ditch his cards, and
Which
nothing
is a big
else.
thing about Manalist Dredge.
Right, and you could
Because there's
tell.
no mana, so that's how you get. So you're like, you start with seven, you never really mulligan.
Right.
You get seven, and you pick a card, and then you're like, oh, well, put that in the side, in the graveyard.
And you could tell that, while this guy might have known what to do when his combo does well, he did seem to really not know what to do when it doesn't go so well. And maybe he did, maybe I just read it wrong, but like I said, I feel like that's something you need to know too, is what are your backup plans? What do you do
You might not
if,
have a backup plan.
right.
It's because some decks just don't have a backup plan to that. Like if like I get, especially with Storm, like if I can't directly deal you damage, and that one card, oh man, I'm totally blanking. Sorry, it's the white one. There's a couple that like I can't like attack. I can't hit you. I'm screwed. I don't have any creatures.
That reminds me of when I played Conley Woods's Pro Tour deck, and I had built that Rakdos control with Grizzlebrand. And I remember when people would go, they'd go, "Slaughter games, Grizzlebrand," and I'm like, "That's my win condition. You just pulled. Like, what am I gonna do? Am I gonna destroy you with just a Vampire Nighthawk? Am I just gonna destroy you with a Crypt Ghast? Like, no." And at that point, I basically just should have conceded because I had nothing, and that was a kick in the head. I never want to feel that way again. But I'm excited about it though. Like I like the idea of Dredge. I've watched a couple of videos where it goes off and it looks really, really impressive. I love graveyard interaction decks. I think that's a lot of fun. It's something I could see myself doing. And modern seems like fun. What really is stopping me is I just don't have anybody to play with. You know, we only have one FNM that I know of around here that is modern. And the people that play at that modern FNM are very good. So I would feel a little weird going to them. And we have nothing around here that's legacy. I think we have one game store that has a legacy and modern night, and it usually ends up being just all modern people. So even if I wanted to really play these formats, like you said, because playtesting is so important, I have no one to play with unless I go online. But what's the point of putting money into a deck that I'm never going to use? So those are the only things really stopping me at this point. But I'm excited about it. I look at the cards and I drool and I have them already priced out and I know how much store credit I need for them, so I'm close. But you know, I really need people to play with to seal the deal.
It's really important to play test.
Yeah.
And watching, like, I think SCG is doing such a great job with our coverage. They've gotten really good. And in the 1 week, Patrick Chapin was just on fire with his commentary. It was hilarious. He was just talking to people off camera about like the Magic lore. Oh, it was just so much like, and sometimes our commentators are on target, and it's just hilarious to watch. And it's just you can learn a lot from watching really great players play. Like, I mean, Reed Duke with that Elves deck. He went to win it on his birthday, but he wasn't. It just goes to show like how a great player can take a deck, and even though like, you know, making the choices and being able to change the way that you play, depending, you know, like even if you're supposed to lose against Dredge, like finding the ways to do it just shows like how much practice and, you know, just, you know, doing your research and learning from it, like, can make you a better player.
I really admire the fact that Reed agonizes over his plays, and not in like a sadistic way. Like it's not like I'm enjoying seeing him, you know, squirm or whatever, but
There's so much thought that goes into it.
Right. But there are certain pros where I feel like they almost make it look effortless. And then when I see that and I'm like, well, I'm not that effortless. Is there something wrong with me? But, you know, when you see Reed at Grand Prix Miami and you see him like put his head in his hands and you see him just, you know, rub his temples and look at the floor and being like, you know, shit, what am I going to do? And you see him taking a long time to think about his plays. I feel like that's something we don't see enough of, where I feel like people are either playing to the camera or they've just done this for so long, they just kind of, whatever, I'll just toss a card out there. Like, I remember there was one guy at Pro Tour Gatecrash, I think it was Frolic maybe, and he was literally like, he had his head in his hand, leaning on his left hand, and he's just throwing cards out with his right, like, and
I
I
think
was,
you could do that in standard, but in
right.
legacy, it's a little different. And especially when if you watch top eight, I think there's a lot more agonizing, like over the different plays, because you have the top eight people, so it's good players. There is no time limit too, which gives you a little bit more time to just kind of like think about the plays and actually, you know, understand what's going on. There's a really great play the other week where the one guy could have Stoneforge Mystic for a sword, but he didn't go and get it because he knew Jace was gonna, or yeah, I think the Planeswalker was going to make him discard it, and he wasn't gonna have mana, so he didn't get it. But then he top decked it, and he won. Like, it was just like this incredible play of like just knowing what to do and like, you know, just agonizing over, do I get it? Do I not get it? What do I do? And it's just cool seeing that like on camera and being able to learn from that. Like, sometimes you don't have to get that card.
Yeah, I've seen him
It's fun.
agonize in standard though too. Reed gets into it, which I like to see. I like seeing people
What if
sing
we
for their
just suffer?
suffer. No. Okay, maybe a little bit, but I have to say, going back to Patrick Chapin, the best part of his commentary that I've seen recently was when he called Theros my big fat Greek expansion. I died. I was like, that's pretty funny. I have to give that to you. And my big fat Greek expansion is the reason why I asked you here, because it's coming out. And we are saying
Good
goodbye
stuff.
to, we're saying goodbye to Innistrad and
Finally.
Ascension, girl, Avacyn Restored, M13. Is there anything you're going to miss about this previous block or two?
My Sublime Archangels.
Yeah?
They're my babies. And then that deck fell out of Standard, and I didn't get to play it. I kept mine. I didn't trade in my Sublime Archangels when I cleared everything else out to get some Legacy stuff. Like, I traded in earlier my Thragtusk, because I knew I wasn't going to be playing that much Standard in these past couple months, so I was like, get rid of it.
And she was always one of those cards that never really seemed like it dropped in price, which was funny because nobody was really playing her.
Yeah.
So I couldn't understand why she was hovering at like 10 and 15 constantly. Like, what's bringing this on? I'm not really a finance expert. So are there any cards you absolutely will not miss?
I like Thragtusk, but it's going to be nice that that's gone. This would be nice that, like, it's just nice that things are leaving.
Yeah.
And, like, if you really want them, you can go play them in a different, you know, meta, you know, Modern or Legacy, or put it in your cube. Just time to move on.
I'm not going to miss Snapcaster. I think that card needs to go. I was really over that, where, like, you know, you're essentially getting to play all of your instants, you know, twice the time, you know, and I think I'm
you can pay for it.
Right. I think I'm in the same boat as you, though, where I'm anxious for new things. You know, I'm anxious to see new cards steal the limelight, and I'm anxious for new mechanics and new deck ideas. And like, just today I was reading Jerry Thompson's article, and he wrote about a black, white, red mid-range deck, which I know people were trying to do, like, in this Standard, which I thought was really silly. And I was like, that's not going to go anywhere. But the brew that he had today really kind of inspired me, and I was like, you know, normally I would never consider this color combination a thing, but what you've put in here and where you're going, I'd like to see this work. You know, you're starting to root for certain cards again, and you know, you just don't have that jaded attitude that being in the same environment for 2 years really gives you. And I look forward to seeing that. I love seeing the events that happen right after rotation, because you never know what people are going to bring to these things. And it's the one time I'm a lot more open-minded about cards. So I'm
especially
excited.
With Pro Tour coming up in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Because I think Pro Tour? Return, was it Return to Ravnica that was right around rotation, or no?
Oh, last year?
Yeah.
Probably. Probably.
So Theros brings with it some new mechanics. We have Bestow, Heroic, Monstrosity, Devotion, and Scry. Scry being an old favorite.
Yeah.
I wasn't around when Scry first came out. So when I first started seeing cards with Scry, I remember the first card I saw was Magmajet, and people were really, really excited about it. And I was Right. And I was like, what's the big deal? And then people were like, girl, you don't even need to ask. And do you think Scry is going to be that big of a deal?
Like in Standard or Unlimited?
Standard.
I mean, it's deck manipulation, which is always good. I mean, nothing's going to beat Scry and draw, which you will never have that card. But
well, we do have Read the Bones.
But you lose 2 life. And it's a little more expensive. I mean, Scry is nice. It's just, I don't know. And some of these cards now, I don't know. There isn't a card that I've seen that cries out to me that, like, Scry is amazing to add to it. Mm-hmm. It just seems like kind of extra for these cards. Like on Omen Speaker, it's you know, it's one and a blue for a 1/3. I mean, obviously it's a common, but you know, when it enters the battlefield, it's gratuitous. So you just get a look at the cards, and you do get to manipulate it by putting them on the bottom, but you don't get to draw anything. So I don't know. It's maybe I'm just jaded from Legacy because I get to draw.
It's funny because I've had conversations with people who've talked about how Scry can sometimes be better card advantage than actually drawing. I was having a conversation with Jack LaCroix on Twitter, and we were talking about how, you know, in certain cases, if you were to replace draw a card with Scry, it would make the card even better. And then vice versa, if you took Scry off and said draw a card instead, and in what situations one is better. And I didn't know that, and that sort of gave me a new appreciation for Scry, and that made me a little more optimistic about it, whereas before I really didn't get it. Devotion's very exciting. Me being a mono black girl, the first time I saw Devotion, I was like, yes, mono black. And it really seems like Devotion is another way that they're trying to push us into one or two color decks. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think Devotion will be a thing?
I think it'll be more of a thing than like Monstrosity and Bestow. Just because Devotion, it kind of just happens over time. Mm-hmm. Like with with Bestow, like you actually have to come into the battlefield,
right,
and throw it on there. And if you don't have the bestow cost, then it just comes in as the creature. So it's kind of like an if, you know, it's either yes or no. Right. As with devotion, it happens like when it gets devotion, then you could do stuff. Or, you know, yeah.
Now, what happens if they, now how does the devotion, like, I guess what I'm asking is, when do you check for devotion? So, like, let's say you're trying to attack me, and let's say you have Erebos, and you have a Nightwing Spectre, and then you have some other black nonsense that pushes your devotion over 5. So Erebos is now the 5/7 creature, and I have a 5/7 coming at my head and a 2/3 coming at my head. And let's say I do something to remove the Night, the Spectre, like, let's say I kill it somehow. Your god no longer has the devotion to be a god. So would I still have to deal with that god as a creature, or does he become back to an enchantment again? Like, do we know how that works?
So it is a creature, and then when you attack, if then you would go kill.
Right, because
I don't know when you check for that.
Yeah, because that's the only thing I find really curious is, like, you know, when do you know, or when do you check for the devotion? Because there's lots of ways you could manipulate that, you know.
Yeah, yeah, like you, like in response, like,
yeah,
to your attack, you celestial flare or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's say you celestial flare before they go into blockers.
Yeah. That's what I find pretty curious. But otherwise, I like devotion. Oh. I think that it's going to be, I think certain colors will have a harder time with it than others. Yeah. And that it is something that I think people are going to have to consider. Like, I think even, I remember reading somebody's, I don't remember who it was, but it was somebody who worked on the design team. And they were even saying that they were thinking of that when they designed certain cards and their casting costs of going, you know, yeah, we can make this cost 2 colorless, but they'll have a harder time getting devotion for it. So we'll make it 1 and 2 of this color. And that was something mm-hmm. they were really trying for. And that's cool. It's cool that they not only gave you the mechanic, but the means to actually achieve it and enjoy it. So happy about that.
Yeah, it just makes you go into like the one color, two yeah. color decks.
Yeah. Monstrosity, you're not a fan of?
It's really expensive. Mm-hmm. I think all of these mechanics are making this whole Theros, especially limited, very slow.
Yeah.
I mean, having a card, like an instant that just lets you scry, which is good. So you're getting, you know, something out of it, but it's slowing you down. I don't know. Like, monstrosity, it's like a lot of cost are at least 2 or 3 more mm-hmm. than what the monster is or what the thing is. So it, like, I mean, obviously it adds a lot to it. It adds a lot to the creature.
Yeah.
I think it just makes it slow.
I think it makes a nice mana sink. I know people are very used to having like Kessig Wolf Run, where you could just dump all your mana into something or things like that. I think people are also underestimating monstrosity as a combat move. I know when I was cubing at Nathan's, Nathan had a couple cards from here proxied in there, and there was a card that I was trying to kill, and I had Flames of the Firebrand or something like that. And instead of putting, like, I had done damage to something, and then I was going to use the last couple damage from Flames of the Firebrand to kill it, and I didn't put all 3 onto the creature because it only needed 2 damage to die. So I was like, all right, well, 2 damage to that and 1 damage to Liz. And then Liz was like, monstrosity for 1. And then she gave it a counter, which meant that it lived. And I was like, well, damn. And I think that's something people else aren't thinking of either, that you can choose to activate it whenever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, let's say, you know, they use the anger of the gods. Well, monstrosity, and you can blah. And, you know, there's some neat tricks there that I think people have yet to discover.
Yeah, I think you have to, if you're playing against something that has monstrosity, you always have to keep that in mind. Like, with the mana open, it's the same thing. It's this combat trick, just like giant growth or, you know, anything else.
Yeah.
I just put blah, blah, blah on it.
What was that? Oh.
Just put blah, blah, blah on it. You know, like, you just add whatever. You can either, you know, make it indestructible or hexproof or in response, screw you.
Yeah. The one mechanic I think is pretty silly is heroic. I'm not really seeing, I can see it maybe being a thing in like limited, but standard, it's pretty perplexing.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about standard, how well it's going to do. Mm-hmm. There might be a couple cards that make it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it seems really silly. Just,
but I mean, in limited, it'll be good. There's a lot of enchantments. There's a lot of stuff, you know, things that are targeting. if you do put the bestow on it, bestow on her, a heroic card, you are casting a spell that targets it.
Yeah.
So that kind of goes, it kind of goes together. Like, so like all the different mechanics are kind of working. I like that Wizards did that. It kind of, you know,
Yeah.
all goes together. So you can scry to find the card that you want to put on your hero guy, do stuff.
Yeah. How do you feel about bestow?
Super duper expensive. Super duper.
This one took me a while to
Because
understand. Like, I didn't quite get it at first.
you get it now. So what happens is that you can either just cast it for the little cost. You know, what I do like about the cards is that there's sparkly borders. I mean, they're not sparkles, like
Yeah.
sparkly, but it's sparkles.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Anyway, so it's a creature usually, and it's usually just the regular creature is cheap. For like three and a blue for a 3/3 guy, that's the crab. But the bestow is like two more than that. So when you if you want to cast it for the bestow cost, you put it becomes like an aura or an enchantment. And you can put it on another creature. And then that creature now gets that +3/+3 or whatever the card says. You get
Right.
extra stuff, extra cool stuff. And then if that creature that you just enchanted dies at some point, then the aura, aka other sparkly card, falls off and becomes a creature on the battlefield.
Jesus.
So it's like you're putting into the bank some savings by putting on the enchantment, and then you can take out the savings and put on the battlefield.
Yeah, it's also nice too, where like if somebody tries to use an instance, like let's say you go to throw an enchantment on something and that creature they respond with like a doom blade and they kill it, normally you would lose that enchantment, but instead it just lands as a creature. That's pretty cool too, because I know that's
Well,
something people.
I think if like you have a creature out there and you want to bestow it, and then in response they kill the creature, then it's not targeting anything. I don't know what happens.
I'm pretty sure it's still a creature. I know somebody on my Twitter feed, I think it was Holovace, but I follow a couple judges, and because of how complicated these new rules are, they've been tweeting like random jewels of knowledge, and I'm pretty sure they said it would still land as a creature.
Okay, so then you just accidentally paid an extra two and you lost it.
Oh, okay,
Like, you know
wait
what
a
I mean? Like,
minute. I get what you're saying now, I think.
so if I have like a 2/2 out there and I want to put this crab on my 2/2 to enchant it, I pay the bestow cost. But then someone in response kills my creature.
Yes, if you
My
paid the
enchantment
bestow.
crab doesn't
Yes,
have
if you
anything to
paid the
target.
bestow cost, you would then get it would be a creature.
Okay.
If you just paid the enchant.
If you just paid the regular cost, it's
Right, if
still a creature.
I'm 90% sure you still get it as a creature if that happens. That if you paid the bestow and then for some reason your creature died, I'm pretty sure it would land as a creature then.
But I'm saying before the enchantment already, before the aura spell actually enchants the creature. Do you remember that? Like,
I'm still pretty
with
sure it's,
Ranker,
yeah.
if you killed it, like if you killed my Strangler guys before I could put Ranker on it, Ranker would go to the graveyard, not back to my hand.
I'm still pretty sure you get the creature, but we'll have to follow up on that.
Yes, please.
But I think it's interesting. I mean, it does sound like it's a bit of a
That's a big thing
dynamic.
too, because
Yeah.
if you know that that's going to go on, you might want to kill it
Yeah. Yeah. So
if
that's
you're on the other
something I
side of
could see being a bit of a problem. So.
it. I think it's going to be, I mean, all these mechanics for pre-release, it's going to be there's so many judge calls.
Yeah.
I think these ones are a little bit harder, I don't know, than the Ravnica stuff, do you think?
I think so. I mean, I think the only one, I mean, what were like the hard mechanic? The only mechanic I think from Return to Ravnica Block that was sort of weird was Cypher. I think that was the only one that people were really baffled about, but
And no one
Battalion,
cared about
right.
Cypher.
Battalion's pretty straightforward. Scavenge was pretty straightforward. I think the only issue with Scavenge was that it wasn't a spell, so it wasn't something people could
It's a
counter.
sorcerer.
Right, and it wasn't something where like let's say you had a Grafdigger's Cage or something, you could still scavenge. It wouldn't affect that. So that was something else. Other than that, I mean, Blood Rush was pretty obvious. Extort was pretty easy to understand. Yeah, there really weren't many mechanics there that were a problem. Detain was pretty effortless. So
And I just think these new ones, it's it It's good that we get new mechanics. It's just, I think it's going to be confusing for those poor little 9-year-olds.
But I mean, pre-release is a good time to sort of learn what those things do. Yeah. So it's a good time. Even I'm probably going to learn some things. So I'm excited about that. So. So what do you think, or what are your overall thoughts on the set when you look at it?
Very flavorful.
Yeah. Very good
Just
job.
slow, limited format. So if you can go the aggro route, you might be able to squeak some through.
Yeah.
Definitely like the 1 2-colored decks and the 3-colored stuff, which should be interesting during drafts. But yeah.
I'm
There's
just
no real like mana, like the mana, the new Skrylands,
Very disappointed.
it's gonna affect standard, which is good because
Yeah.
everybody was getting so much. It's just like, let's make a 3-color, 4-color, 5-color deck. Yay!
Yeah.
No, stop it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like I was one of the people that was pushing for two color. I freely admit it. I thought things were getting a little crazy, but at the same time, I was getting very excited about it, where I decided that I wanted to be control post rotation. I had all my cards ready. I was ready to be Esper. I was ready to be UWR Flash. And you know, some people think you can still do it, but I have to admit I'm not excited about being just blue white control. Like, you know, I don't like having my only win condition be Etherling and Elsbeth. Like I can win with those things. I'm not saying I can't, but you know, I wanted
I
to
don't think
cute.
Elspeth, it's not going to give you that much.
I don't know. People are saying it's what control needs. I don't know. But
Need for
anyways.
control.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I was really excited about playing like, you know, 3-color Grixis control maybe, or winning with Obsidian in control, you know, something like that. And to see, I worry that we're losing some of our flavor. Like, you know, these are decks that are obviously going to be able to
It's going to be a
work.
lot slower standard because, I mean, like half the lands come intact.
Well, I think it's that, but I mean, I think that we're boiling it down to these decks are going to work, but are they going to be fun? You know what I mean? Where when you had
It's
three
going to be a lot more
colors.
mulligan stuff too. Yeah, then that's
Yeah.
not fun when you have to be like up, down to four.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah, so I worry about that. But other than that, I enjoy the fact that I don't know what's going to happen. Like when I look at the Theros, the full set, and I'm looking at all the cards, I haven't put all the pieces together yet, and I don't know what does what, and I don't know what I should be ready for. So I really enjoy kind of the mystery of it.
Gonna take like a couple months, which is
Yeah.
why Theros being played out through January. It's a lot of product being open. The first set is always the one that gets opened a lot. It's just the way that it falls, which is good
Yeah.
because you get to kind of figure out what the hell everything's going on in standard,
Yeah.
especially with rotation.
Yeah. So typically, whenever you and I do these shows, Jen, we break everything down into categories. And you actually came up with our first category, which I thought was hilarious. I remember asking you, I was on vacation, I was in Seattle, and I didn't get to check the spoilers that posted at midnight or at 11 on the Wizard site. And I asked you if I missed anything. And I remember you replying, nothing that I would go into labor over. And we decided then that one of our categories would be the card you would go into labor over.
Well, that's because before it was what I had to make a baby over, and now
Yeah.
that that's already happened, it seems moot that that
But then
doesn't
your friend Charles was like, well, what about the guys? Like, can we have a category of card I would savagely impregnate or something?
apply
So if you're a guy, it can be the card you would impregnate. If you're a girl or you identify
anymore.
as either, it'll be the card you'd go into labor over. So Jen, what card would you go into labor over?
I love my Fleece Mane Lion.
Ugh.
I pre-ordered 2 cards, and Fleece Mane Lion was one of them.
That's good for you because normally you go on a bit of a bender and I have to hold you
Well,
back.
I know, but also things were expensive for pre-ordering this time, and I'm not playing, a standard, so I'm not trying to really get into standard. I just knew that, if I wanted to get into standard eventually, what I would want to play, which I hope is like green white,
Oof.
but. So the Fleece Mane Lion goes right in there.
Okay. It's a scary card. It's definitely a card where I wish I had my tragic slips or
Yeah,
something along those lines. I'm just like, oh, this is going to be ugly. And yeah. The card that I would go into labor over, this was sort of tough, and I'm sure people will find it underwhelming, but Erebos's Whip. Oof. life gain and bring stuff back from the graveyard and you can cheese it with Obsidian and Aetherling, and I was just like, ooh, girl. And I really felt like, I feel like there's a lot of pieces here, and I know I've said this before, where mono black could be a thing. And this was one of the cards that really got people talking about mono black. Even some of the naysayers that were like, mono black is never going to happen. Please go
Either
away.
mono black or mono or black white. Like, I feel like this fits in there.
Right, but I mean, there were people that were really hoping that this was just one of the pieces of Mono Black, and that when they saw this and they saw Erebos, they were like, okay, we just need one or two more things, and Mono Black is a reality. Come on, come on. And then we didn't get those pieces. So, but I'm excited about the cards. I've seen a couple really interesting brews with this. I think it's going to be fun, and this was a card I was really, really excited about. So,
Yeah, this is on my, it's in my list of things that I'm excited for.
yeah.
So I like it. I think even at a four drop, as long as you have creatures out, it's still allowing you that four drop spot, so that you can still have lifelink so you won't die. You know, what do you want to do with it at four? You want to, you know, your one drop, your two drop, your three drop, what are you doing at four? Like, is this really where you want to have your four drop at as compared to like another creature? I mean, four drop, you know, that's a big seat. So you kind of want to fill it with something good. I don't think you'd be playing four of them. Maybe two. It also could be good for sideboard too. But I like it.
I think
I want something to happen with it.
Yeah, I think it also fits in very well with the way that Black operates. Like, have you ever listened to Mark Rosewater's Drive to Work show?
Not really.
That's okay. So he does this podcast, I don't know if you're familiar, where he just drives to work and then he records shows while he's doing that. And he's recently started doing episodes about colors and color theory. And he just did an episode about black. And it was a really amazing episode because I identify as a black mage. And he was talking about just how black does things and how they don't mind paying life for things. And especially when you look at Erebos, and Erebos has this draw ability that you can use constantly if you have the life to pay for it. And that's something black has always done. And the whip combined with Erebos combined with Roll the Bones or Read the Bones, you could do that. You can fuel yourself, and you don't mind Thoughtseize even. You don't mind paying that 2 life because you'll just get it back. And I really like that because we're less afraid to hurt ourselves if we can get it back. So.
Yeah, especially if you pair it with like Obsidian and you're starting to gain life here or there. It helps.
Oh no, there are people that are living the dream and doing Alms Beast and Erebos.
I
That was one
want
of
to do
those.
that.
I was like, yeah. Yeah,
I
I told
want to do
you.
that. I also want like black white. I was playing that before, and I just like those color combinations. I like the white, green, white, black.
Yeah, I definitely hope that, black gets some sort of moment to shine. I don't really know what the colors are going to be, but I definitely see something there. I wasn't really happy with the I played Golgari Rock for a while, and then certain people were trying to make Orzhov Rock happen. It was really awkward. And I didn't like that at all. So if they could do Orzhov correctly and more elegantly, I'd hop on board. But it just felt like kind of a weak imitation when people did it before. So I'm hoping it'll be better this time around. So after the card you'd go into labor for, what are your next favorite cards?
I like the Red God, the
Ugh.
Boros. I just like what it does. The gods are all pretty nice. It's a 6/5,
Yeah.
the Boros God of the Forge. I think all the gods are indestructible.
Yeah.
And you do need to have the devotion for it. But I like it because whenever another creature comes into the battlefield, it does 2 damage to each opponent.
Ouch.
And you can also do a 2 and a red, and creatures you control get +1, +0 until end of turn. I like it because he doesn't tap to do any of this stuff. And if you have and you could do it with I'm totally blanking on that enchantment now. Son of a bitch. The one that makes little soldiers come in every turn.
Assemble the Legion.
Yes! I'm gonna
Yeah.
start with an A. You get that going with this guy. Boom.
Definitely sounds
Stupid.
painful.
Stupid.
I like that they're, normally red was a color where, they got used to having to stopping at four. Hellrider at four, call it a day. Mono red aggro. Anything more than four, weren't really having it. And I like that red is having to, you could still play red very stupidly like that, but now you have cards like Chandra, Pyromancer, you have this card, you have the Ogre Battlemaster. Red is having to expand a bit on that and having to consider four drops that may not hand you the game right away, but can give you the groundwork to do it anyways. And I like seeing red sort of branch out a little bit instead of just the mindless turn the card sideways. They're having to put a little bit more thought into it, which I really appreciate.
Yeah.
So,
What's one of yours?
mine, Erebos, of course. I was waiting. He was the last god that was previewed, and that was the god I think a lot of us were biting our nails over, where we saw what the other four were, and we were just like, okay, oh god, oh god. And it's funny because there's a guy on Twitter. I don't know if you've heard of him or not, but his name is MTG Deep Throat. Are you familiar?
Maybe,
Okay.
maybe.
Basically, his shtick is that he knows what the cards are going to be before they're previewed. So, like for example, like he knew the Skrylands were coming. He knew other things were coming. People don't know who he is. He's very, mysterious. He doesn't say anything about himself. But I had asked him, do you know what Erebos is going to be? And he freaking called it, like days before it happened. And I was like, holy shit! So I had an idea of what Erebos was going to come out looking like, but when I saw it, I was very happy. And I was like, okay, like this was again more fuel for the mono black fire. And I was like, all right, mono black, we're good, we're good. And I was very happy to see him. So he was one I was really, really excited about.
Yeah.
So
I
hit me with another
do.
one.
So I like that that Thought Seize is here.
I was surprisingly not excited about it. I think only because I've never had a chance to really use it. So I understand that it's good, but until it's actually in my hands and I have a scenario or a story to tell about it where like there's the word association, it hasn't quite hit me yet. So it's like, okay.
I like it because it's reprinted and now I can have it for cheap. And by cheap, I mean I was sitting there watching TCG Player during, so this is the other card that I pre-ordered. So it came up at like 22 or something. And I snap bought four of them. I was like, I need my play set. So I think everybody's gonna want their play set just because of modern and legacy. Like it's just what you want. It's gonna go up in price and then it's gonna come back down. It's gonna sit probably in like later on at like 15 to 20. But if you get these, like you want to keep them. I mean, making another player discard a card, it's huge. It could be that, life or death choice, You reveal their hand, like you take out that Grizzlebrand. Sorry, Aaron, you can't play anymore.
I think it's interesting as I
It could
think.
just,
Oh, sorry.
it's just, it could turn the tides.
Yeah. With that said, though, I've heard actually two different arguments that a lot of the pros seem to think that it's a mistake, that it's an unfun card, that it should have never been reprinted, that it's going to be terrible. And I've also heard the people say that it's the kind of card that people are going to want to jam into every deck, and it's not
Yeah, it
meant to
might
go
not
in every
fit
deck.
that though,
Yeah.
you know? Like it might not do the standard thing. It might not be a standard card, but it's good for, because it is a reprint, getting it into circulation again. I mean, some of these cards out there for Legacy and stuff are just so expensive. And so they should not be reprinted again. But I don't think so, like having Thought Seize reprinted doesn't, it keeps it in modern stuff.
Yeah. So I'm excited about it.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's not like my like, oh my God, like I love that it's here. It's just, it's kind of, I got to buy it. It's mine now.
Well, you're more
And
excited
now,
about it because of the other formats.
yeah, and
Yeah.
now that I could get this play set, and if I get any more, I trade it away and get other things. What else do I have? I have the Green God.
I like her.
Nyla? Nyla? I don't know.
I like her
I don't know.
bow.
Nyla. The bow is fun. I don't like the bow that because it has to tap.
Oh.
It's not bad.
But see, I
But I
like
like.
that though because I think it's a good, because again, it's something you do as an instant. So you can kind of keep the mana up and then you're like, okay, if combat happens and I need to throw a counter on something, I can respond depending on what I need to do.
I like it because of the flavor. Like it gives other creatures trample, which is such a green thing to do. The target creature gets +2/+2 is a little expensive for the pump,
Yeah.
but it is a 6/6, so
Yeah, that's
I don't
not
know. I like all her stuff. She seems to have a
bad.
lot of like like Nyla's presence and the ordeal of Nyla and the emissary and her bow. There's a lot of, you know, fluff in there that's kind of fun.
Is it Nylea? Is there an E in there? Nylea? Okay.
Here is. I don't know. Hey, I don't pronounce these cards right at all. I just make this shit up.
I can tell.
Which is probably wrong, because I think when you call it, like, when you're like, I'm going to go find this card, like, you say it wrong, then you're just like, shit.
I can tell there are people that are going to be like Polokranos. They're not going to be able to say that. They're like, I'm going to look for Porky. We're going to do that. And then, you know, I know that somebody is going to say Beastow. I know that's going to happen. So I'm not looking forward to that.
Then you get a judge call if, like, you call the wrong card.
That'd be funny.
You go and, like, search for it. No, you can't get it.
So the next card that I'm looking forward to is Ashiok. I like Ashiok. I think people are underestimating Ashiok. I love Ashiok more for their story. The idea that we have an androgynous planeswalker is a really big deal. And there's been a lot of discussion about, you know, whether Ashiok is a man or a woman or whether they're both. And it's been neat to see people have a discussion about that that normally wouldn't talk about that. And to see the discussion be really intelligent of what pronouns should we use. You know, you're not supposed to use it and you're not supposed to call it, you know, a thing or whatever. And what
I'm not allowed to do that to the baby either. My mom gets so mad when I do that. I'd be like, oh, you just put it in its room or something. And she's like, it's a baby. And I'm like, it.
Exactly. But I like the card. I think it's something people are not, I don't see it being a big planeswalker. Like, I see it maybe being around like Vraska popularity. But I think it's great for the Kolmirs. Yeah. And I love the flavor a lot. I look forward to seeing what Ashiok does, like what their purpose is. And it's really the one card that kind of brought out the Vorthos in me. I was very interested in that mm-hmm. side of things for once. So I was excited about that.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to do a lot mm-hmm. in like the standard thing, but it can be fun.
Yeah, it'll be a late bloomer.
Yeah.
You had a favorite planeswalker, didn't you?
Xanagos. How do you say it?
Yeah, Xanagos.
It was fun. He's fun.
He's scary.
He does stuff. Scary. He makes mana.
Scary stuff.
He does stuff with it that red and green do, which is what I like. I like the flavor in this set is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I like you can put a little hasty guy out. And then you exile 7 cards. If you have a creature heavy deck, it's fun. Mm-hmm. There's mana. It's fun. I don't know.
Do you see him working well with Domries? I've heard people say that it'd be really weird to put them together in the same deck.
I have to look up Domri, right? I don't have any of them.
Oh, that's fine. I don't either.
I don't have any of her. It's a her? It's an it? No, it's a guy? It's a kid? It's a kid, right? I don't know. It's a little kid. I don't know. I don't think you would run both.
Yeah.
Maybe? What goes in your hand?
Yeah, it's a little.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm just a little scared about what he's going to ramp into.
It's greedy. Like, you know. It's just greedy to have both in there, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So the last card that I'm excited about in true form, because I'm a black mage, I love Hero's Downfall. Being able to kill a planeswalker at instant speed is pretty hot, because we were having to go to Dreadbore for that, or we were having to rely on Abrupt Decay for that if it was like Liliana or Domri, and I like it. It kills any creature, no limits, you know, no color limits, anything like that. It doesn't have to be multicolored.
It's an instant.
Yeah, I really like that, and again, that was one of those cards that made me feel like we're on the road to mono black and that we didn't need any other color, and that was something black really struggled with, was how to deal with a planeswalker.
Yeah, I think it's going to sit in that black deck, though. I don't think it's going to make a real big impact in, like, other decks.
Right, because other decks can deal with it, though. They have maybe Detention Sphere, they have Dreadbore, they have those options, and, you know, black didn't. And I think this is a good way to do that, so I was happy. So in addition to the cards we'd go into labor over and the cards we love, we always have the cards that are like, why are you here? What the fuck? I don't understand. What is your what the fuck card?
It's more like, I know the people, it's like $22 right now. I think it is. Mm-hmm. It's the Storm Breath Dragon. Mm-hmm. I think, let's just double check what the price is right now.
Yeah, people are going crazy over that.
They're like, it's the next Thundermaw. No, it's not. It is not. Stop
It's
it.
not.
Yes, yeah, it's 24. Pre-order on Star City.
Why?
No.
Ugh.
No.
No.
It's a 5 drop 4/4. At least when Thundermaw came in, it like this guy does have haste, but it was a 5/5 and it pinged things. Like this is gonna come in at a pace, but if you have another flying guy that can stop it, like it's not gonna be helpful.
Yeah, no.
It's not $25. No.
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 I'll just show it a Doom Blade and call it
No, stop it.
My what the fuck card is and somebody actually had the nerve to say that this was a sweeper, and it made me very sad. Curse of the Swine.
Yeah,
Why
no.
on earth would you want to take a board and turn them into 2/2 pigs? Don't understand. And the people were like, "Well, you can use them against the gods." And I'm like, "But you're still no, I don't. I'm a black girl. I'm a black mage. When I kill a creature, I never want to see it again. I don't want to replace it with anything. I don't want to turn it into something. I don't want to give you anything. When I kill it, it's dead. It's gone. And I don't like
Yeah, you can
this."
exile the other person's stuff.
Yeah, even with like, Chain to the Rocks as an exile, if it's anything else, I'm all about killing things, but I don't like this. I'm gonna kill it, but I'm gonna give you something. No, that's too. Same thing with Rapid Hybridization. No, Beast Within. No, just it needs to
Well, Beast
die.
Within was good because like you were getting rid of something important. This one's just like,
But see, that's
when's
the
this ever
thing.
gonna come up?
But see, that's the thing. I want to
Huh.
get rid of it. I don't want any evidence you existed. I want to wipe you off the face of the earth. And I can't do that because there's pigs. I can't do it. Very
Yeah, it's
upset about
not.
this card.
Yeah. No, it's not.
So I also have a card that, we always have those cards that kind of stump us. We kind of went through this with Devotion a little bit, but I do have a card where I've read it a couple times
Okay, which one
and
is it?
I've reread it a couple times, and I'm pretty sure I understand what it does, but it's kind of stumpy. Have you read Psychic Intrusion?
Okay, hold on a second. Site. How do you spell that?
Psychic TSY CHIC, and
Wait,
then
what?
Psychic
Oh,
PSYCHIC.
PSY.
What did you think I said?
I can't spell. I don't have to do anything right now other than make a baby come out of my hoo-ha. I don't have to spell, remember cards. I don't even have to know how to play magic. I'm just gonna sit there and be like, look, kid, I'm winning this. You don't have a choice. I'm going into labor right now. I also get a time extension about the pigs. Shush it.
Did you know that you can get time extensions to pee? I did not know this. I didn't know this. There was a Riki Hayashi. He's a judge for Star City Games. I think he wrote an article recently for Star City where he was talking about don't be that judge or something to that effect. And I didn't know that if you have to go, you can ask the judge. He'll sit in your seat and you can go pee. Do you realize how many games that I've punted because I've either had to pee, had to poop, or I had tucked too tight and my balls were cutting off my circulation, and so I had to excuse myself so I could go untuck and breathe. I didn't know that we could do that.
I think you're supposed to abuse it, but yeah, you
I'm just saying there have been so many games where it's like, can you just kill me now? I need to go, and my leg is
can.
shaking, and then I race off because I'm so happy I can pee. I didn't know.
I think this weekend I get time extensions if I do go into labor. And if like my contractions are far enough apart, I think I get a little time extension if I need to.
I would
The
hope
judge already said
so.
so. Anyway,
Jesus.
psychic
Okay.
intrusion,
All right.
the sorcery. Okay.
Target opponent reveals his or her hand. You choose a non-land card from that player's graveyard or hand and exile it. You may cast that card for as long as it's exiled, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast it.
Okay.
So
So what
you.
you're gonna do is you're gonna look at the opponent's hand, and then you can either take a card from the hand or the graveyard and I exile it. And then you can cast it later.
Only once, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so
Well,
it's
I mean,
not
once
like.
you cast it, it's cast.
Okay, so it's not like a repeatable thing.
Yeah, because then it won't be exiled anymore, and then it just goes back to the graveyard. Or, if it's a non-land card, so it would be if it's a creature, then it would be on the field, and when it dies, it go in the graveyard. If
Okay.
it was a sorcery, or instant, you do that. But you can spend mana as though it were any mana of any color to cast this spell. So yeah,
Interesting.
I think.
It's very demure,
Yes.
flavor-wise. Yeah, it just took me a couple times where I'm like, I think I get it. So
I
overall,
feel like
it's
it's pretty nice and maybe like EDH.
yeah.
Whenever I like target opponent, like I always feel it always like calls to me as like an EDH type thing. Like
That was
I
like
can
that.
target any of you, haha.
There was the Simic prophet, the prophet of Krupix or Krufix. Oh my God, the EDH players were shitting themselves. They were like, "This is made for us," and yeah.
Yes. Super fun. I'm excited for this weekend.
Yeah. Are there any decks that you're looking to brew, or any cards that you see that you can put into a deck after rotation?
I like what I said before, the green, white, black, white would be one of those two.
Yeah.
Something brewy. I'm not gonna be able to get to play standard, so I won't be able to live the dream.
I'm definitely looking for some sort of
Maybe.
control
Maybe.
shell. Like I've never really done pure control before, so I have my Sphinxes, I have my Supreme Verdicts. I was really looking forward towards, like I said, being either Esper or Grixis or something, and that may or may not happen. But
Your
even
Aetherlings?
I do.
Aetherlings?
I have my two Aetherlings. I've got my Angels of Serenity. I've got my Precinct Captains. I've got my Azorius Charms. I've got my Rest in Pieces. I've got my Detention Spheres. I've got my Ratchet Bombs. I am ready to control some folks. I just need to know what control I'm going to be. So I'm waiting for people to tell me, is three colors okay? Do I have to go just two? But I do want to be control, like real control at some point, and that's my goal. So got my Rel'Zarix. I'm gonna order my
Nice.
Elsbeths or after pre-release because people told me
I
not
would see
to
what you
order
could
them.
trade
Yeah.
if you could trade for them, and you could probably. I mean, when are you trying to go play?
Whoa, pre-release
Like,
or
no, I meant like standard stuff. Are you trying to go
well,
like
SCG
away?
Milwaukee is the second weekend in October. It's the 12th.
Okay, so yeah, you'd probably need to order right away. See what you can trade to some small child.
Well, I have my store credit, so it
Oh,
legit.
that's
So
true. That's
I'm
true. You
having
do.
it.
You do.
Yeah. So.
But see if it goes down a little bit.
Yeah.
The trick to pre-ordering is the second it goes up, you have to grab them.
And I'm so bad at that. Like I just don't have my
No,
finger
well,
on the
I
pulse.
sit there all day on the computer at work.
You just hit refresh? Like how do you do that?
I think that so they usually go up at like 11
In the morning?
Eastern time
Oh.
because 8 o'clock is Pacific time, I think, or 7 o'clock is when they do it. I don't know. That's usually when I've seen them go up. Sometimes they go up a little earlier. Like the Fleecebane Lion, they didn't go up the one day, and I was so pissed. I waited all day for it. Like I was so mad I didn't get any work done. And then the next day they went up at like 9. And me and Chaz like snap bought that shit up. He's like, I want 10. I'm like, yes.
Yeah,
Well, four of them were for me, so
so
the other six were for him.
yeah.
We decided so it was the only card that I'm pre-ordering. I'm like, I don't want to pay shipping. Can I just go in on your order?
Right.
It's important that you got to be on top of this stuff. Because then I think later in the day, that price went up.
Yeah. And I'm so not good at that. So I admire people that can, determine that and keep track of that because it's just so not my strong suit.
It's hard.
Yeah. So anything else about Theros you want to get off your chest?
I don't think so. I think it's gonna be fun.
Did M14 live up to your expectations?
Yeah, I mean, when I was drafting, M14 was fun. I enjoyed drafting it. I didn't open any boxes, so I wasn't like cracking a ton of stuff. I still need to get, my scavenging uses and my mutavaults vaults, some stuff. But also that's easily tradable to get. Yeah. I enjoyed doing the drafts. I think it was a really fun core set draft, which is really, like what it's for.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
I'm excited to see it go, though.
Cute.
It was cute, but we need something fresh.
Time for this other stuff, you have a huge set, which so when you're drafting, and we were going to be drafting for a lot, or like doing sealed and opening for a couple months, which is more than, M14. So it should be good stuff.
Yeah. So other than that, Jen, if people want to get a hold of you or they like you, how can they go ahead and do that?
I'm on Twitter. I'm Genosodes on
Okay.
Twitter. And I think and I'm on Genosodes on Facebook too. But I'm usually on Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter's more fun.
Yeah, you're pretty
That's
vocal
about
on Twitter, which is why I love you.
Do stuff.
Yeah. So thank you again for coming on and doing this with me. I love that we get to do this, and I know that people look forward to it. Like when they heard Theros was coming out, it was, are you and Jen going to do a show? And it's yes. I know people have offered to come on in your stead. Like, well, if she's having her baby, I can come on for her. And it's like, no, she's my expansion girl. Whenever the expansion comes out, you are earmarked. You are mine, and I don't want anybody else but you.
I should be able to do the next one though. I think it's
Fantastic.
January, right? January is
No
mid
idea.
January. End of January. It's the end of January because that's when Magic Cruise was last year.
Yeah.
Yes. End of January is the next set.
And hopefully, and maybe we'll hear the baby in the background.
Maybe you'll be sleeping at that point.
Yeah. So thanks again for coming on. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard here, you can always find me on legitmtg.com. First and foremost, you can always find the show on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Feel free to subscribe, leave me a positive review, some stars, a thumbs up, whatever they have. If you want to follow the show on Twitter, you can find us at The Deck Tees, on Twitter. Me personally is at Original Estrus, OriginalOestrus. Or you can also reach me through email at estrus@elitistjerks.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. Enjoy your pre-release, and I will talk to you guys later. Bye.